Morning, everybody. You're all very welcome this morning. Great to see so many faces here, new faces, and all the regulars. It's great. You know, I was just, when I was sitting there, I was actually very moved about what Anne said about the spirit breaking out and about the two people that left. So I just want to pray, Father, we come, Lord God, and Father, those people, Father, you know who they are, Lord. And Father, your spirit, Lord, breaks out. And wherever they are, Lord, touch them, Father God. Father, just touch them, Lord, with the spirit of God, Father. That, Father, that they would find you on their journey, Lord God. Father, we ask even for you to dare to bring them back here, Lord God, to throw confusion into the enemy's plan, Father. Father, you have a plan and a purpose for those people, Lord God. And we declare it now today, Father. Bless our brothers and sisters, whoever they are, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, you're very welcome this morning to the house. And, you know, it's the songs that we sang this morning about the Holy Spirit and about the Spirit breaking out, you know, that's actually the topic that I'm actually going to talk about today. And there's always room for the Spirit to move into our lives. Would you agree? There's always something in our lives that needs to be changed. And, you know, there's a program that I love to watch, and it's on Sunday nights. It's called Room to Improve. And the guy, the architect, Dermot Bannon, he goes into these houses, and what he does is he takes the house, he transforms the house from something old into something new. And a couple of weeks ago, the program was on. He went to this house, I think it was in Maynooth, and it was this lovely, it was called a coach house, and it had loads of bedrooms in it, and you know, when you looked at the house from the outside, it looked lovely. It looked stunning, you know. But when the camera crew went inside and when they went in the front door, the first thing that was met in the hallway was actually a shower that was in the hallway, you know. And so this house on the inside, it was a little bit chaotic. And the rooms in the house, they were all crammed, and there was low ceilings in the house. And, you know, Dermot Bannon and his team, he goes in and he's given this budget, and he goes away and he remodels the house and all of that. And he comes back to the client and he says, okay, he said, this is what we're going to do. This is what I'm going to do with the money that I have. And he presents this lovely model of the house. But it's only until he goes in. And when he goes in and his team go in and they begin to demolish the rooms, and they begin to take down walls, and they begin to take off the roof of the house. And he soon discovers that the roof of the house and some of the wood in the house is rotten. Inside of the walls, there's a fungus that's grown. The house is actually infested with this fungus disease that's going right through the house. So Dermot Bannon runs into some difficulty with this house. He's so much of a budget that he has to try and do something for the client to retrieve this house back to some type of normality. And he's like a knight in shining armor. And he comes in and he saves the day. And he remodels this house and he re-renovates this house. He reshapes it and he presents a house then that's just done then for the client. And the client is pleased with the house. And I did have some pictures, but unfortunately we ran into some technical difficulties, so forgive me for that. But the reason I'm talking about this house, about taking this old shack and transforming it into something new, that's what the Spirit of God does with our lives. And we heard about it here this morning. We heard Jay, that was once an addict, and the Lord took him from the pit and transformed him into a man of God. You heard the living witness, the witness of a testimony of a man that stood here this morning. You see, transformation can be powerful, whether it's in a house project or whether it's in someone's life. But spiritual transformation can be not so easy in some people's lives. Some of us struggle with spiritual transformation. We struggle with the same old issues that keep cropping up and cropping up in our lives. And some of us want a quick fix. We don't want to go through the journey of letting the Lord change us and transform us. But we want a quick fix. We want someone to come alongside us and sort out the problem for us. Or we even want God to just do it dynamically. Sometimes when we're going through this stuff, we don't want to go through the pain. We don't want to feel the effects of the pain of the stuff that we go through. And you know, last week we celebrated Jesus rising from the dead. You know, because the grave didn't hold him. The tomb didn't hold him. And his whole purpose for dying on the cross was to send the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter, the one that would come and help us through this journey as Christians. It's the one that he sent, the Ruach of heaven, that breathed life into this earth, that breathed life into us as people. The Ruach of heaven that transforms every man and woman. You see, there's no boundaries with the Spirit of God. He opened the floodgates of heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit to come and to breathe on every man and woman and child of this earth. You see, the Christian life doesn't have to be hard. And you know, when the Spirit of God lives in us, what happens is he gives us a new mind. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new value system. Because sometimes when we're in the old, we do old things and old ways. But when we move into the Spirit of God, he gives us a new value system. And that new value system is where we experience great joy, where we experience great strength from the power of God. Have you ever met someone that they tell you that they're a Christian a long time? But this person, they're a grumbler, they're a complainer. And yet they say that the Spirit of God lives within them. But yet, the habit of grumbling is still living in this person. And they'll tell you that they're not a grumbler. And my answer to them is, well, tell your face that. You know, if the Spirit of God is living in us, we get to experience great joy. That's what the Christian walk is all about. That we experience great strength. That anything that we come up against in life, it doesn't have to be difficult. And I want to look at a scripture, and it's in Acts 19. It's Acts 19, 1-7. So if you have your Bible, please turn there. I'm sorry about the screens. So Acts 19, 1-7. And this is what it says. It says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. And this is what Paul said to them. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. And they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told people to believe in the one who would come later. And the one that would come was Jesus. And as soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on the 12, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they began to speak in other tongues and they began to prophesy. You know, when you read that scripture, it tells you that these men, they knew of Jesus. They had heard of Jesus. But yet, they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit. They hadn't heard about Pentecost. And you have to wonder, why did Paul ask the question? What made Paul ask them that question? And maybe Paul noticed that there was something missing in these 12 men. Maybe he noticed that there was an absence of love in their life. There was an absence of unforgiveness. There was an absence of zeal. There was an absence of enthusiasm for the things of God, for the Spirit of God. Maybe there was even an absence of a realness in their walk and in their witness for Jesus. But Paul knew they were lacking something. And he asked the question, what baptism did you receive? What baptism did you receive? And their response was John's baptism. And you see, John's baptism was before Jesus came. You see, John the Baptist, he was known as a prophet at the time. He was known as a man that was in the, he was a forerunner before Jesus. And it tells us in Matthew 3, that John said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You see, John the Baptist was preparing the way for Jesus. He was the one that was telling the people at that time about the Messiah that was going to come, about the Messiah that would come, and that he would baptize people with the name of Jesus, with the fire, with the Holy Spirit, with the presence of God. And you know, as we read in that scripture, there was another man called Apollos at the beginning. And this man, Apollos, that's mentioned at the start of the scripture, he was also under the teachings of John. He was under the teachings of John the Baptist. This man, Apollos, was well known. He was well known in his study of the scriptures. He was well known in the synagogues for preaching the word of God. But yet, this man was missing something. He was missing the Holy Spirit. And friends of Paul that traveled with him throughout Ephesus, they were Priscilla and Aquila. And you can read this in your time. And it tells us that when they heard Apollos speak in the synagogues, when they heard him talk about the things of God, they noticed that Apollos was missing the Spirit. They noticed that he was missing the Holy Spirit. And they took him off for dinner one night. And they began to share with him about Pentecost. They began to tell him about the way the Spirit broke out at Pentecost. About when the Spirit came and it came into the upper room and there was 120 people there. And when the Spirit came, they began to speak in tongues and fire began to lit upon the disciples' heads. They began to prophesy. They began to go out into the marketplace. They went out into the public arena and they began to heal the sick and cast out demons. They began to drive out all the things that they were equipped to do. You see, there was a manifestation that came on the disciples in Pentecost. And when Priscilla and Aquila began to tell Apollos about this, they knew that he could do more things for God. They knew that he could preach the word of God with more power, with more fire. You see, Paul, when he came across these 12 believers, he knew they were lacking. They were lacking the Spirit of God. There was something in their thinking, something in their theology, something in their doctrine that Paul looked at these 12 men and he said to them, there's something. Well, you know, when Paul looked at these 12 men, he began to notice there was something missing in their lives. He began to see that something just wasn't registering with these 12 men. And he said, there's so much more he knew. You see, Paul knew about Pentecost. There's so much more that you can have. This is not it. This is not it. And you know, I remember when... Well, I don't remember, but I seen photos of that when I was a kid. You know, when you get baptized as a child and when you get baptized, you you see all the old photographs and that, and I was probably wearing the family heirloom, you know, the old baptismal gown that was passed down from four generations. And yeah, although I was baptized as a kid and I grew up as knowing Jesus, I knew the name of Jesus. But it was only when I came into my later life, when I came into my adult life, that I came into a place where I was born of the Spirit. And maybe you're sitting here today and you don't know the Spirit of God. Maybe as a teenager, you responded to an altar call and you got dunked headfirst into a lake at U Camp. And that was it. You just believed. You just believed in the name of Jesus. Maybe as an adult, you stepped into a pool and you got water baptized. And that was it. You just believed in the name of Jesus. And you can imagine Paul, the Apostle Paul. He seen these 12 men and he began to sigh. And he probably began to mutter under his breath when he realized that they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. They hadn't been transformed. They hadn't experienced the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. You see, when Jesus died, we were buried with him through baptism into death. And then we were raised from the dead by the glory of his Father. And we should be walking as believers in the newness of life today. You see, our old life has been crucified. And we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because Jesus took it all on the cross. But we should be resurrected into a new creation in Jesus. And we should have a new set of values. Because that's what the Spirit of God does. And you see, Paul knew these 12. These 12 men, they knew of Jesus. They had heard the scriptures, but they were stuck. They were stuck in a place where they didn't move on. They were stuck in a place where they didn't prophesy, where they didn't speak in tongues, where they didn't heal the sick, where they didn't cast out demons, where they didn't go out into the marketplace and tell about the things of God. These 12 men were stuck. And Paul seized the opportunity. When he knew that they hadn't been baptized by the fire of the Holy Spirit, he knew this was his opportunity, where he would come and lay hands on them. You see, he knew they hadn't experienced the outpouring of the Spirit. So you can just imagine his delight when they said yes to him laying hands on them. You see, they lacked nothing after that moment. Every single one of them had power. Every single one of them had the authority to go forward, to prophesy, to dream dreams, to see signs and wonders, to heal the sick, to drive out demons and to speak in tongues and to see visions. You see, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Spirit of God came from heaven and touched these men straight away. Amen. 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 All right, Dennis, you're all right. Do we know the Spirit today, or do we just know the name of Jesus? There's a possibility that there's many Christians in the same place today. Many who have a knowledge of Jesus and believe in the ministry of Jesus. They believe in the baptism of repentance. They know of the Holy Spirit, but they haven't fully grasped the deeper depths of his power. You see, when God poured out his Spirit, when he breathed life upon all flesh, all men, all women, there was no social barriers. There was no rich or poor. There was none of that. He breathed life on everybody. There was no cultural barriers. You see, God says in his word, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I will pour it out, and your sons and your daughters, they will prophesy. Your young men and will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. They're the promises of God. God held back on no man and on no woman. Have we fully grasped the power of the Holy Spirit? You see, the Spirit of God can come in and demolish any sin that's in your life. Just like Dermot Bannon went into that house with his team and there was a fungus thrown in them walls. They went in and they demolished everything. How much more is the Spirit of God more powerful? Whatever's in your life, the Spirit of God can come and he can break down the walls. He can break down that thing which is in your life. He can transform you from the old nature into the new nature of God. You see, the Spirit of God can set a fire in your heart. The Spirit of God can light a fire in your heart. Take that used to sing a song, relight my fire. And if you need your fire relit today, the Spirit of God can do that. See, the Spirit of God can get you through difficult times. The Spirit of God can get you to forgive somebody if they've hurt you. You see, the Spirit of God enables a person to know inner strength, not your strength in the flesh, but it's the strength of the Spirit that carries you in times of difficulty. It's the Spirit of God that guides you in all truths. When you're being taken down an avenue where you know you shouldn't go, the Holy Spirit comes along and taps on you and he says, no, come on, this way. That's the power of the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God broke out in Pentecost, they were in the upper room, 120 people, and it was a sound of a violent wind. It wasn't this timid wind. It was a sound and the clashing of a violent wind. The ruach of heaven came and blew in that room. And 120 men were filled and transformed with the manifestation of the power of the Spirit of God. And as a result of that, they went out into the marketplace. And Peter stood and he began to declare the things of God. He preached his first sermon. And out of that first sermon, 3,000 people came to know Jesus that day. 3,000. You see, the Spirit of God is powerful. The Spirit of God can transform and empower your life today. Everything you need, the Spirit of God can give you. Everything that you need to be has already been done for you at Pentecost. Pentecost is still happening today. Everything, every single thing you need, every victory, every opportunity, everything for your ministry, everything for your life is already in place because the Holy Spirit has poured out. The Spirit of God is alive and active today. So what are we waiting for as a people? Do we want to just follow Jesus? Do we want to be just followers? Do we want to just say, yeah, I know the name of Jesus? Do we want to come on a Sunday morning or maybe if we get the urge, come on a Thursday night to the prayer meeting and say, yeah, I know the name of Jesus? Is it enough? Or are we taking Pentecost outside into the marketplace? Are we taking Pentecost into the places where we need to bring it? Into our families, into the workplace, into our communities, into the sick? Are we bringing Pentecost out into the marketplace? And my question to you is, do you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart? Do you have the Holy Spirit flowing out from your life? We sang that song about the Holy Spirit, about the torrents. Is the torrent of the Holy Spirit outbursting in your life today? Is it like an avalanche? Is it overflowing? Is it like a fountain of living water bubbling up inside of you? Is there areas in your life that you need to change? Is there areas in your life that need to be transformed today? Do you have the gift of tongues? Would you like the gift of tongues? Do you have the gift of boldness and authority to go out into the marketplace and to evangelize and to bring the gospel of Jesus to those that need it? Do you have the gift of prophecy? Do you have the gift of dreaming dreams and seeing visions? Do you have the gift of seeing the signs and the wonders? Do you have the gift of anointing the sick? You see, God always wants to take us deeper. Always. Is this how you would describe your life? Have you grasped the Holy Spirit since you believed? Are you living under His influence? Are you filled with His power? Would Paul the Apostle look at your life and notice the presence of the Holy Spirit? Or would he notice the absence of the Holy Spirit? What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see the grumbler, the complainer? Or do you see the person that's on fire for the things of God? You see, these 12 men sensed that they hadn't got the power of the Holy Spirit. They knew there was something missing. And you know what? They were open to receive. They opened their heart to receive the things of God. And they lacked nothing, absolutely nothing, because the Spirit of God came upon them. What are we waiting on today? What are we waiting on? Are we waiting for that one thing for God to do in our life before you commit? Are we waiting for that issue to be sorted out? And then you say to yourself, I'm going to have the victory in that area. That one thing that God is going to do in my life. When God does that one thing, then I'm going to volunteer in Liberty Church or out in the marketplace or in another church that you might attend. Once God does that thing in my life, then I will reach out to the lost. You see, we don't have to wait to have it all together. None of us have to wait to have it all together. We just need to humble ourselves. We need to come and allow the Spirit of God manifest Himself through us. You see, we can't do it in our own strength. It's impossible for us as people to do this in our own strength. You see, Paul knew these 12 men were stuck. They were stuck in their walk. Yeah, they went to church probably. Yeah, they probably went and attended church meetings. But that was it. There was no fire in them. Do we want to be overflowing? Do we want to be bursting with joy, bursting with strength? You see, the Holy Spirit can equip you today with everything that you need. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And into what baptism were you baptized? Were you baptized into just knowing the name of Jesus? Were you baptized into being stuck in that place, just knowing His name? Or do you want to be baptized into the fire, into the fullness, into all that the Spirit of God can give you? Do you want to be free to be able to dance when the worship play the music? You see, we can only do that when the Spirit of God knocks off all the things that would stop us from moving into that place of dancing. You see, God has done everything. Everything. Everything God has done for us. You see, the fire lit on Pentecost has not died down. The fire is still burning today. The fire of God is still burning today. The good news is you can have an extreme makeover and lack nothing, and you can be transformed. You can have the fire of God burn up in you today. And the first step is, maybe somebody here needs to humble themselves like those 12 men. Maybe you need to be willing to acknowledge you have a lot to learn. You have a lot to grow in the things of God, and allow the Lord to fill you up. And maybe there's somebody here saying, I'll do it tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, I'll do it tomorrow. I will start doing the things of God tomorrow. You need to ask the Lord to break that thing in you about tomorrow. You need to ask Him to do it today. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up today. And maybe there's some here who are burdened in their hearts. And the Lord is calling you. And you're saying, I have to get this one thing right in my life. You need to surrender. You need to allow the Lord to demolish this thing in your heart. And allow the Holy Spirit to replace it with a heart of fire for Jesus. A heart of fire to serve Jesus, to go out into the marketplace and to love unto others and to help others. And maybe some here today who have been baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit, who have spoken in tongues, who have prophesied, but your fire has gone out. And you can come and the power of God can relight your fire today. And maybe there's some here today that are afraid of the tongues and are afraid to prophesy. You see, God can break down the walls. God can break down the fear factor. And He can release His Spirit upon you. You know, when He released the fire of God on them in the upper room, those 120 men began to speak in the power of tongues. And the power of tongues, it's a heavenly language. It's nothing to be fearful of. It's engaging with the Spirit of God. And there was others there in that room that were able to interpret what the tongues were. You see, we have gifts within us. Each one of us here have gifts within us. Gifts that not man has put there, but the Spirit of God has put there. And it's about coming and activating those gifts in our hearts. It's about allowing the Spirit of God to activate those gifts that He's placed within you. And there's some here who have struggled to grasp the Holy Spirit. You believe in Jesus. But there's some that are struggling with grasping the power of Pentecost. The power of the Holy Spirit. There's some that are struggling to grasp, to live under His influence, to be filled with His power, to experience His joy and strength. And if that's you here this morning, the prayer team are going to come and they can anoint you with oil if you're sick in body. They can call on the power of God to transform you if you're struggling with a particular sin in your life. They can call on tongues of fire to come on you for you to begin to speak in a heavenly language. They can call on the Spirit of God for you to begin to prophesy. They can call on the Spirit of God, whatever your need is. Whatever your need is here today, because we have everything. Everything is ours. Everything. Everything. Can we do spirit breakout? Yeah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So I'm going to invite you to come if you would like prayer. And I would ask, don't hold back. Whatever you need today, the Spirit can give you. Let's all stand.